It's that's what we're talking about, cats or dogs. It's one of the things, one of the many things we're talking about. 0191 232 6565 or text 81333. Start your message, BBC. So it's just after 10:20. And there are an estimated 7,770 people living with some degree of sight loss in Newcastle-upon-Tyne. Although it's easy to assume that as a society, we're now much more aware of people with any kind of disability than in years gone by, many people still aren't sure how to approach someone with impaired sight or what kind of assistance it would be appropriate to offer. But one group in particular have been supporting those living in the city who have sight loss for more than 150 years. The Newcastle Society for Blind People support around 1,500 members in the area, and they're marking their birthday with some special events and a name change. Their chairwoman, Lisa Charlton, came in to tell me about their work and how it began.
We started up in 1867 as Gateshead and Newcastle Home Teaching Society for the Blind, and basically it was to teach people how to read Braille and Moon, another form of Braille, Bible readings. But there was nothing else for blind people at the time, no work. They hardly ever got out and about, and we were one of the first societies in the UK, and before the RNIB even, to set up some charitable work through the great and the good of the area, trying to help the poor blind people.
So there really wasn't anything back then, really, at all, any help when it came to offering help to blind people?
There was nothing. There wasn't a welfare state, so there was no benefits as we know today, no charitable help, no employment for blind people. A lot of people were on the streets begging to survive.
Gosh. So how has the charity changed then, you know, 150 years on?
Well, unbelievably, not a lot, really. That's unfair. We have changed a lot because of all the technological change, but our mission is exactly the same. We started up to help people to become more independent, do things for themselves and be less isolated, which is exactly what our mission is today. Only today we have a lot of technology to help us do so.
Tell us more about what you do now and how you help people.
Well, we still have the outreach. We go to people's homes as we did in the beginning, but now we're going into people's homes to teach them how to use their computers. We teach them how to have independent skills so that they can do cooking and get around in the house, do housework and daily chores on their own without help. We were set up to have social activities. In the past, it was a Bible reading on a Sunday afternoon in Jesmond, which I don't think our members would be particularly interested in now. Now we have a lot of different social groups, people getting together. We have a knit and natter group where a lot of old ladies do a lot more nattering than knittering. We have exercise classes, outings, and we probably most importantly a tablet class so that they can get as much information as they want, and they use their iPads, talking books. It's all very technological now.
But that's so important, isn't it, nowadays, to know how to use that sort of equipment as well?
It's vital, actually, Lisa, because without it, you don't get anywhere in the world. You wouldn't be able to do things by yourself if you couldn't use a computer. Mm. It's key to everything. And as things move on, it's becoming more and more so every day.
So what are you doing to celebrate the big 150th then, Lisa?
Well, we did an application to the Heritage Lottery over a year ago to their Celebrate Strand, and we're having a huge tea party for 170 people at the Copthorne Hotel on the Quayside. We've got speeches. We've got a lady coming down to the Copthorne who helped us to celebrate our centenary 50 years ago. Dorothy McMahon is a music teacher, and she's going to be playing the piano in the Copthorne as people arrive. She's actually written a piece music especially for the 150th, so I can't wait to hear it.
Mm. And is there an exhibition taking place?
There is next month. That's on the 24th of July in the Central Library. And that's where Bill, who is our empowerment officer at NSBP, he will be talking to people about the history project and everything that we've learned and how we can take that forward and learn from what's happened in the past and take it forward in the future.
Has anything surprising come from that then? Any interesting tales?
Well, also it's really to think 150 years is a long, long time. We've survived two world wars. It's not just today that we worry about money and where the next grant is coming from. Mm. Forever there's been a problem of running out of funds and thinking that society is going to close down, but it hasn't. It's kept going. There's lots of things. For example, James Clydesdale was the first blind councillor, and we had a blue plaque erected for him in the West End of Newcastle earlier this year.
As of the end of this week, you're changing your name, aren't you, from the Newcastle Society for Blind People to Newcastle Vision Support. So why the change, Lisa?
Oh, well, that's really exciting. We've actually made 5 changes in our names over the 150 years. So we've always kept it ahead of the times and kept it with pace with changes. And we began to think that society was quite an old-fashioned name and gave the idea of hidden people doing mysterious things.
Which you're not.
Of course not.
No. Just checking.
Well, we might do some days. But we decided that we really needed to keep the Newcastle in, because that's a USB, a unique selling point, where we basically look at support people who live in Newcastle. So we thought vision support was important because we like to use vision rather than blind, because not everyone thinks of themselves as blind. They might be partially sighted, and most blind people have a certain amount of residual sight. They're not completely blind. So we decided upon Newcastle vision support.
It must be quite a difficult thing to come to terms with, you know, if you become visually impaired or if you lose your sight later on in life. Is that something that you help people with as well, coming to terms with that and learning to live a life again, I guess?
That's very important. We run a safe course, which is sight awareness for all, for people who become newly registered. The majority of people who lose their sight today, it's through age-related sight loss, macular degeneration. About 70% of blind people are over the age of 70 when they lose their sight. We tell people about what's available to them. We signpost them, refer them on to different services. We introduce to them all the gizmos that blind people use to help them with their daily life. And also we give them emotional support. We have a counselling service. But the biggest thing is the peer support. It's usually a small group at a time, about 10 to 12 people meet up. And they meet up every week for 6 weeks. And they become best friends because they're all going through the same thing together. And peer support is the strongest way of helping people to get over emotional problems like that.
To know you're not alone, I guess.
Yes, exactly. Mm.
So that's Lisa Charlton, chairwoman of the Newcastle Society for Blind People, who are celebrating their 150th birthday with a tea party and a name change. Coming up, the charity's Empowerment Officer, such a cool job title, on what are the most pressing issues facing people with sight loss in today's Radio for the Northeast on Wednesday morning. Lisa's show here with you. Thank you so much for your company. It's coming up to 20 to 11. Not many people fighting cat corner, I have to say, this morning. Cats versus dogs. If you had to choose, which would you choose? Sell them to me. We're going to be finding out from Michaela Strachan from Springwatch and from My Youth, the really wild show. She's been on so many TV shows over the years. Never changes. She always looks the same. We're going to be finding out from her which she prefers and why, and indeed which the North East prefers and why. And I'm just kind of carrying out this independent straw poll on my back, be it, as to which you prefer and why. And I want you to sell to particularly cats, OK? Because they are not getting any points so far. Dogs are definitely in the lead at the moment. But why is a cat a brilliant pet to have? Get in touch with a text, maybe 81333. Starting your message, BBC. Now, this week is Macular Week. What does that mean? It's a campaign aimed at highlighting the problems macular disease, which causes sight loss, can actually bring. Age-related macular degeneration is thought to affect half of the 370,000 people registered as blind or partially sighted in the UK. One North East charity who helps those who lose their sight to adjust is the Newcastle Society for Blind People, who just so happen to be celebrating their birthday this week with a party and a name change. Bill Norman is their Empowerment Officer, which is possibly the best job title ever, isn't it? I asked him to tell me what kind of issues the society work on.
We've been involved, for example, in getting a change to buses alongside guide dogs and the RNIB and other agencies in the North East to have a change where all new buses have audiovisual announcements, you know, the next stop announcements on.
Yeah.
And they're not being compulsory up to now, but now they are as part of the New Bus Services Act from April this year. We also are very keen on working with the council at the minute on a street charter to keep the streets as clutter-free as possible for visually impaired people, and indeed anybody with limited mobility, moving about the city. And that's about to come to fruition about next month. So the way we do that is to try and pick on people's natural skills and develop them. And, yeah, we've got a fairly lively group, a mixture of people.
I mean, visual impairment, you know, being blind, it's nothing new, is it? But how much awareness do you think that there is about what is actually helpful and what is not helpful for those living with that in the Northeast?
Oh, that's a very good question, Lisa. I think there's an awful lot of uncertainty among sighted people about what are the right things they could be doing to help people. I'd still ask the question myself, if depended on the person. Obviously, yeah. It depends on the person, how independent they want to be. I would say, as well as do we help or do we not, there's also an issue of how an ignorance of preventive measures, like half of visual impairment is preventable. So, for example, just by going to your opticians more often, just getting a checkup more often, a lot of eye conditions can be detected early.
I mean, what are the things that people come to you with then, Bill? You know, come to you and ask for your help with?
As an empowerment officer, a lot of the work recently has been in digital inclusion. And one of the things that we're finding is as more information goes online by default, then people who don't have access to that are finding it harder to find out things, you know, from basic things like, you know, a community meeting on or whatever, to basic information that you used to be able to find in a telephone directory or a newspaper. So one of the things we offer is a service where people can phone up and we will basically search the internet for them if they haven't got one, and then send it out. The information in an accessible format of their choice. So whether that's in Braille, CD, large print.
So you can be used like a search engine then?
Yep. And one of the things, one of the preconceptions is that when you think about visually impaired people is that most people will use Braille, mm-hmm. and that's only 3-4% people. Or the most popular format, if you like, is just large print. I tend to do a standard of 20-point. That's quite large.
Right. Thinking about it, I would usually probably use 12, so that puts it into perspective, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, yeah. That's why I want to go back to 12-point myself and reading at home. It's like, yikes. But yeah, there's a lot that the public could learn.
We talked earlier on to Lisa about this exhibition that is taking place to celebrate 150 years of the Society, and you obviously very heavily involved in this. Tell us a little bit about it there. And then
the exhibition runs from 4 weeks on the 20th of July in the library. The byline of the project is learn from our past to look to our future. So it's trying to pull out the lessons that doing the history research has produced in trying to meet with partners in the city. So for example, we've got the Theatre Royal coming, we've got social services, we've got the library services themselves coming. It's a kind of, look, folks, we've reached 150. We'd like to reach 300. What's the most important priority for visually impaired people now? We've been interviewing current members to ask them not just their own experiences and stories about the Society, but also about what still makes them frustrated. I'll give you an example. Recently introduced cycle routes haven't been too popular because they can be quite dangerous for visually impaired people.
Okay. I'm quite interested. Some of the other research, a lady who's playing the piano at your 150th anniversary actually also took part in the celebrations 50
years ago. We think she did. I mean, during the centenary, we were based in Jesmond in the Sutherland Memorial Hall, which had been gifted to us by Sir Arthur Sutherland, a man responsible for the dental hospital and the mansion house and various other things in the city. The centenary was quite an interesting thing. It was a 3-day open house, if you like, and so it was people coming along to see what blind people could do and make demonstrations of the craft work that they did and things. And I think Dorothy was part of that playing.
Right.
Yeah. And as far as I can say, as far as we think we can remember together, we had a discussion.
Well, that's Bill Norman, Empowerment Officer for the Newcastle Society for Blind People, soon to be known as Newcastle Vision Support. There'll be a special exhibition to mark that anniversary at the Newcastle Library. And let's not forget Dorothy, who's going to be playing her special composition at that event on Friday. If you or someone you know could benefit from the services they offer, then you can give us a call here at BBC Newcastle and we'd be more than happy to put you in touch with them. Our number is 0191 232 6565.